Dr. Hine, welcome to the program.
Well, good morning, Art, and thanks for having me here. And I know I speak for a lot of listeners in saying thanks for having such a great show for so many years.
Thank you. We have some hum on the telephone.
We do. How's that?
Worse.
Worse. Okay.
Are you on some sort of headset, doctor?
Yes, hold on.
Okay, let's switch to a real phone.
How's that?
About a million times.
Okay.
Better.
We got it.
Okay. All right. So it's hard to know where to begin with you, doctor. It really is hard. I mean, there's so much here. So I guess I better just ask you, give me your best explanation of what you're calling subtle energy is, please.
Subtle energy phenomena are a whole range of phenomena that relate to biological organisms and life energies that really were never really addressed by the mechanistic physics that were, you know, that were taught about in school.
Talking about things like auras?
Yes. Auras, the type of energies that bodies and living things generate, healing energies, chi energy, you know, from martial arts, things like that.
Yes.
These energies are very subtle. Some people estimate that they're 10 times weaker than the Earth's magnetic field. So, you know, we've been talking about solar flares. I think how they're very subtle and very weak. In fact, sometimes they're referred to as ultra-weak forces or non-Maxwellian forces. They're very weak, but if you set up the proper equipment, like with random number generators and things like that,
yes,
you can actually measure these forces. In fact, you were getting into this discussion last night with Dr. Frank.
In fact, I was, and we're going to go right back into it.
Yep.
But first, let me approach it from the skeptic's point of view. Many say, doctor, they're so damn subtle that they're baloney. They don't exist. They're not real.
Yeah, you know, I might have taken that view myself, you know, before I started studying it, because like you, I read New Scientist magazine, and I kind of have a hard-headed approach to this. But if you look at the statistical data, there's no doubt that these phenomena are real.
All right, make me a believer. What evidence would you offer that these things are real? Your best evidence.
Well, let's just take, in general, to start out with, all of the psychic research that's been done over the last 100 years.
Okay.
When you put all these studies together, there's a type of research that combines statistical studies together, and you can kind of look at the effects over many different studies and get a large sample size. And sometimes the odds that you're getting these results are like in the trillions to one. And that really, by any standard, that's like the gold standard in science. If you get odds that are that high, that's called statistical significance.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just look at the experiments that were done in Princeton at the Princeton Engineering Anomalies Research Lab. I'm sure you're familiar with this.
I certainly am.
Yeah. Well, with the random number generator, they've found that certain global events affect their random number generator. And in the experiments they did, where people would sit at home in front of their PCs and try to affect a random number generator,
yes,
you know, after the cumulative results, after about, I believe, about 8 years or so,
yes,
if you look at the graph, I mean, there are results. There is no doubt. Now, this may challenge our idea about reality that you can affect a device sitting 1,000 miles away.
I know.
But this is the nature of science. It, science doesn't mean that it necessarily has to fit in to, you know, with your belief system that you learned in school. It
just means
you have to look at the data and have an open mind and say, look, what does this mean? I think if you look at the data from this research, when they did the research for the remote viewing program, when Jessica Utz did the study for the CIA,
yes,
she asked, you know, did they get good results? She concluded they did. So, you know, we know it's real. We just don't understand exactly how it works.
All right, Simeon, when I spoke to the people who were actually running the program at Princeton, and be assured I did at a very high level, what I detected from them, and maybe you can help me explain this, is a great disinterest in having any publicity about the findings at Princeton. I mean, they just didn't want to really talk about this publicly at all.
Yeah.
Why do you think that would be?
I'm not surprised. These
Why? I mean, such astounding results surely should be shouted about.
I agree with you completely, and this is why I do this type of research with my colleagues at the Institute for Resonance, because I came out of a traditional academic background, and you cannot study this type of material in a traditional academic background because you'll be considered, you'll be ostracized or marginalized. And, you know, Ingo Swann has gone into this in great detail. I know you've talked to Ingo on this show in the past.
You bet.
In his books, he says that there's this fundamental bias in our society against this sort of phenomena because it goes against the very fundamental things we were taught that define reality.
Yes,
and that's scary for people.
Yes.
And if you're an academic in a university, it's going to threaten your job and your, you know, your career. And people, you know, are concerned about this. So,
it is measurable, real proof that the energy we're talking about exists. So
yes.
I can understand treading carefully into this field from a career point of view. But once you actually have results you can slam down on somebody's desk and say, here it is, then why would you want to be quiet about it?
I wouldn't want to be quiet about it. In fact, I'm very loud about it, like you and many other people on the show. It's just the reality of the situation is if you look at the history of science, and anyone who's taken a history of science class will know that science is not always rational. And even with good data, people will turn their mind and not look at the results. Now look at what Scientific American said about manned flight with the Wright brothers back, you know, 80 years ago or so.
Yes, yes.
They said it's impossible. Why? Because things that are heavier than air can't fly. And, you know, we should all keep this in mind when we ride on airplanes nowadays. The fundamental tenets of science, you know, have to be challenged from time to time. And, you know, Thomas Kuhn and others have suggested that we get these paradigm shifts not by people changing their mind, but kind of, you know, by the old cadre just kind of
fading
away. And I'm afraid that's what's going to have to happen here because
yeah.
It's not only belief systems, Art. It's the whole institutions that are built around these older mindsets. And, you know, I'm not against people making a living and feeling secure. We all want that. But it's coming at the cost of our own health in lots of different ways because we have this new type of science available to us, and yet there's so much resistance to it, you know?
Well, what if this whole mass consciousness thing really is a gigantic power? Let's think about that for a second. Just suppose for a second that it was all really true, and all of this mass consciousness business, if properly directed, would be a power unlike we've ever experienced on Earth. Let's see. Would you want to keep that quiet?
I think it depends if, you know, if you're part of the power elite.
You might.
You might want to keep that quiet.
Definitely might.
You know, it depends who you are. It depends where you are in the system. Speaking as a sociologist, it depends where you are in the social system. If you're at the top and you want to keep things the same, you're not going to want people talking about this.
Yeah, you don't want to rock that boat.
No, you don't want to rock that boat. But if you're one of the people that can see a better way and you think, you know, we could actually have a better planet here. We don't need all of the particular problems that we have. As some of the guests have pointed out in the past, you know, we don't need these combustion engines anymore if we have zero-point energy machines. But, you know, the real crux of the situation is, and a lot of the research in subtle energy points to this, that our own belief systems affect the ability of these sorts of new technologies to work, if you can believe that.
Are remote viewers using this subtle energy to glean the information they glean in the process of remote viewing?
I believe they are, yes.
Yes.
I think that a lot of these phenomena, you know, really are part and parcel of this larger subtle energy paradigm. Everything from psychokinesis to telepathy to the types of things we see in and around crop circles and all sorts of other phenomena really do seem to me to be part of this other area of energy that is, again, very hard to measure, but empirically, if you look at all the data, suggests that it's there, kind of like some sort of ether.
Psychokinesis, you mentioned that. It's very, very, very interesting. Is there evidence, irrefutable evidence, that somebody has demonstrated that power? Psychokinesis. I mean, where is that evidence?
Well, Art, I saw it myself a couple weeks ago in Japan.
Let's hear it.
This was the most amazing thing I ever saw, I have to say.
Well, okay.
It was on the island of Kyushu in Nagasaki Prefecture.
Right.
In a town called Sasebo. This man will not give interviews. He will not let you take his picture. He will not take any money for his demonstrations. He just has a restaurant that he and his wife operate. You can go there and watch him do these. He does these shows two or three times a day. I saw him bend spoons just by looking at them. Things spin around without him touching it. he could look at people and tell them their birth dates and their names, and he didn't miss once. And he did this with objects that just came from people's pockets.
Sounds like a magic stage act.
I would have thought so. You know, this is the way our minds work. We have this mindset that there has to be some explanation.
I know.
But I saw objects become like molten liquid in front of my eyes. You're standing 3 feet in front of this guy. And the person that invited me to see this was actually a surgeon from a hospital who was taking my remote viewing classes in Japan.
Really?
And he said, Simeon, you just have to see this. I saw it in front of my eyes. And if I hadn't, you know, I've talked to some of the people in our own military remote viewing unit. Do you know that there were people that were doing this in the unit, in DIA?
No. And as a matter of fact, let me tell you, I've interviewed, I believe, every really well-known remote viewer there is.
Yes.
I've interviewed them all. And when you ask them about something like psychokinesis, that's one area where they get real quiet.
Mm-hmm. Well, they shouldn't be, because I know for a fact that there were people that were hired alongside the military remote viewers that could do this. They could pick up objects off your desk and melt them with their fingers. I had heard about this, and I hadn't seen it, and when I saw this person doing this, I said, that's exactly what I was describing, what this person saw over at DIA.
How do you know you weren't looking at a parlor trick?
Because I don't know any parlor trick that can make us spend a spoon bend just by looking at it and look at someone and tell them their name. Is there any way to explain that? I don't think so. I don't think you can have a group of people and just randomly select people from the room and tell them their birth dates, their names, and do this repeatedly day after day without missing. I think it really is. I think it's the real thing. And you know why? There's a whole book that documents this called China's Super Psychics that I read several years ago. And it talked about children in China that were born with this ability. So I knew about this ahead of time, and this has been pretty well documented. There are a number of these children that can do this. And so when I saw it, I said, wow, this is what I read about, and here it is actually happening. This person, tell me if you can explain this. He was able to take my watch and cup his hands over it, and the hands spun around on the watch. At the end of the show, he said, come here for a second.
So it was a show.
Well, it's kind of like a show, but it's something that he could demonstrate that I don't think was explainable by any conventional magic. In fact, if there's anyone that can explain how someone just could make the hands on the watch spin around simply by touching it, I mean, not turning the dial, just by touching it.
Yeah.
I'd like to know. At the end of the show, he just said, come over here for a second, I'm going to show you something. He ran his hands over my forearm, and I could feel the electricity coming out of his hands. I could feel like a mild shock, kind of like you get from
really?
Him. Yes, I could feel the electricity. And actually, having spoken to a colleague of mine in Boulder, Colorado, Lorraine Moeller, she told me that she knew of someone that could also do this in Boulder, but he was, again, very secret about it because too many people had expressed resistance to it. But she said, oh, I know all about that. I've seen someone do that, too. So apparently there are people that could do it. And, in fact, Uri Geller, you know, they tested him extensively at Stanford.
Oh, I know.
And, you know, Russell Targ and Hal Puthoff did say that he could do things that they could find no explanation for. I mean, he was able to move things, and they had him in a chair, and there's no way he could have touched something in the other room. So, when you see things that defy our sense of reality, your mind, you know, it kind of wants to snap back into a state where it says, that can't be true, that can't be true. And even someone like myself that's involved in these areas has that reaction. And yet we know there are things that are beyond what we can believe that are true, and it just takes a while to get used to them.
Subtle, and they're all in this subtle energy category?
I think they're all in the same category. You know, Dr. William Tiller from Emeritus from Stanford University Engineering Department, he's talked about this extensively, and he says that they're all really the same thing. There is some sort of chi pump that we all have, a kind of psychic energy or pranic energy pump that we're all connected to that we don't know we have. And this is why some of us, you know, do this remote viewing training and other things to kind of remind people they have this ability. If you tap into this subtle energy field that is all around us, you can channel this energy through your body and connect to all sorts of information that our conscious mind doesn't have access to. It comes through the subconscious. This is why you'll hear remote viewers often talking, you know, from the CRV system that you've had many people talk about on your show here. It comes through the subconscious, and remote viewers learn to have a dialogue with their own subconscious because the subconscious has a bandwidth capacity, get this, of like a million times what the conscious mind can do. So if you think you're smart, your subconscious is like a super genius compared to every, you know, conscious thought that you have. And that's where this comes through. We're still learning about how this actually happens, but this is what seems to be going on.
You mentioned that person was very quiet because of the, I don't know, the reaction, I guess, of people to that ability.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an interesting area to focus on. Of course, you know, a couple hundred years ago, 100 years ago, whatever, we'd have burned somebody like that squarely at the stake. Well, an interesting thing has happened in modern times. We still more or less want to do that. Simeon, hold on. We'll get right back to you. We still want to do the modern equivalent of that, actually, and that is burn someone like that at the stake before there's more of them.
The official website of Coast to Coast AM is www.coasttocoastam.com. Log on now. I can see for me.